Well, now's the time when we hear from our guest poet of the evening. Cheryl Boyce Taylor comes to us from New York. She's a native of Trinidad. And before you hear more about her, I'm going to invite her good friend and our good friend, Shirley LaFleur, one of St. Louis's great poets, who has been very instrumental in our ability to bring Cheryl here to, and so I'm going to invite Shirley up to introduce Cheryl Boyce Taylor. Shirley LaFleur.
Good evening. Again, welcome to Duff's on the River Styx reading series. I want to first speak to you for just a second in the voice of some other people who have so artistically endorsed Cheryl Boyce Taylor. Raw Air, which is a new book that is out. The Kitchen Table, Women of Color Press. Clearly possessed of genius and artist disdain, destined to become one of the great poetic voices of our time, says Andrea Locke, who is the publisher of the Once Kitchen Table Women of Color Press. In the voice of Lips magazine, Raw Air sizzles with energy. Boyce Taylor is an acrobat of poetry, leaping and dazzling, daring moves from poignant family poems to highly charged sensual poems. With amazing skill, she balances poems resonant with clarity, images fresh and often startling. That's Lips magazine. From Bob Holman, United States of Poetry. Here is Cheryl Boyce Taylor, poet laureate of Trinidad via Lower East Side, Brooklyn, in full book regalia. A rollicking life force churns air into dance when Cheryl reads her poems, sings and raves her poems, a guided tour of the island. Read silently, you become a part a family history, a family who lives in places where bodies connect and separate, where joy and pain are food. Here are mothers and children, love and more love, the sea of life, open raw air and breathe deep. That's Bob Holman. Cheryl Boyce Taylor, poetry breathes with an imperishable spirit. The language is rich and mahogany as her birthing ground, creating images that talk to you in earth tones and mango voices. Her poems remember, her poems love, awakening a stirring inside. And like a mother's blessing, raw air is fresh. Raw air is essential, and that is from the voice of Shirley Bradley LaFleur. I want to give you a little background on Cheryl Boyce Taylor, who is a performance poet, activist, visual artist. She has presented her works throughout Africa, Europe, and the Caribbean. In 1994, she toured the U.S. as a road poet with Lollapalooza's Music Festival and represented New York City at the National Poetry Slam Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. Boyce Taylor's currently working on a book about her travels to Goree Island, located in Senegal, West Africa, the largest slave port in Africa. She lives in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, New York. Cheryl Boyce Taylor, who is also my good friend, we're now embarking on a very unusual. I don't know. Anyway, in December we will be a part of the Asian and African American poetry marathon that will be going on for about 3 days in New York City. I am so honored to have Cheryl respond to coming here under the sponsorship of River Styx. I'm so happy that all of you have come out. I'm going to let, outside of what you've just heard, I think you're going to have to let Cheryl's voice speak for itself. She is quite capable. She is quite wonderful. She is dynamic, the dynamic Cheryl Boyce Taylor, poet.
Good evening, everyone. Listen, where I come from, when you say good evening, everybody answers. So I'll say it again. Good evening, everyone. All right, now you're cooking. It's really my pleasure to be here this evening. And I want to dedicate this reading to Michael Castro and Adelia, to Shirley Bradley LaFleur, and the great people I have met here, and especially to Karen and Charlie. When Karen opened the door to their home, I felt like I had come to sit before a fire. It was warm and inviting and cozy and safe and, you know, all of the attributes for a good parent. So, and all of the wonderful people that I've met, and I've only been here 3 days, but I'm coming back. So thank you all for making this my home away from home. I'm going to begin my reading with three or four new poems that I'm working on. I'm working on a new book of poetry, and the working title is House of the Heart. I'm not sure that I'll keep that title, but... And so I'll share a few of those poems, and then I'll read from Raw Air. The first piece is called For El Nino, and last year when Raw Air came out, I went on a book tour to San Francisco, and every time it got a little dark, everyone says, El Nino, and they were like really going crazy, and so I wrote this poem for El Nino. We awoke to the sharp edge of the Sunday mist rising above the San Francisco Bay. Amid patches of blue, bales of clouds held firm, their knuckles white with grief. Storm clouds hovered, standing guard like military predators, their dark uniforms polished thick and grim. And when the storm's gray brow parted, the rains fell, returning to the arms of its lover soil. And the land was generous, sweet in all its unexplained intentions. The second piece is called Flame Ficini, and it's in four short parts. One, what is so sacred about dying? That incomprehensible red flame of death laying loose in your body, ache curled like a frond crawling the trellis of my spine. Two. Finally, you reach my heart, the worn trails of pain no longer visible in your eyes. Three. Day breaks clean, snakes an imaginary blue line to climb the faint rustling of our twin breath. We wake together. Four. Moonlight was crossing the road when your eyes met mine. How small the earth seems compared to your lovely eyes when they smile, when they look, when they run into my arms. This piece is called Fever. Thank you. Thank you. It is evening, a weary fever wasting on your skin, too stubborn to be put to bed. The sheets of your eyes wrinkle off white. Feebly you pull me close, wanting to spoon me, bend your last ache, your feverish lips into a kiss. With faulting movements of your mouth, you call on the gods of maladies to touch something, to heal something. Let's walk the mountains, you say. They're so close. I know we can get there, reach the other side. In your delirium, you walk the mountains of my arms. Step, step, fall, step, fall. Your love swaying in between dark, light folds of this August night. Step, fall, step. A glazed river of fever breaks in your eyes. The cracked glass of your blue broken lips scratching mine. Thank you. And this piece is called Elvis. It's not a new poem, but I've resurrected it again after a couple of years, and I'll share it with you. I've kind of done some little things different to it anyway. Elvis. I don't want to talk about Elvis anymore. This American frequent fascination with dead people. I don't want to talk about Marilyn. No more JFK movies, no more JFK movies, no more Monica, no more Monica. Snow White may have screwed Bill and every one of his seven dwarfs, but nothing stops the race wars, the bias crimes, this hunger. I don't want to talk about Elvis anymore. I'm alive. Fighting to hear the bells in my stockings. I don't want to talk about race. I don't want to talk about class, rock stars, dope heads, Michael Jackson, or Monica. I'm weary, riding the edge of a needle in my mother's eyes, licking the bad blood from her fingernails. I'm hungry. I don't want to talk about death. I don't want to talk about hair texture, skin color, nose reduction, or lip size. I have not forgotten how the Caribbean sun feels brilliant against my skin, nor the policeman's nightstick cold against my brother's face. I have not forgotten the charred rubble of whooping cough lifting the bony chest of the Moussa twins on a filthy street corner in Burkina Faso. And I can never forget the brown boy under Bahamian pier. Miss, I sing your song for a dollar. Miss, I dance for some bread. My mama needs some bread. Miss, my mama needs some bread. Trying to laugh the pain in his eyes, trying to live, I hate death. I hate race shit, and I hate death. Let the dead sleep, charmed white in their hollow bones. I want to wrap rainbow words around the moon, crab apples spicing the damp fall air. I want to write poetry, drink chamomile tea, bathe in an outdoor tap at sunset in Mayagüez. I want to live. I want to live, forgive, and teach our children to sing. I don't want to talk about Elvis anymore. I don't want to talk about race anymore. I don't want to talk about race anymore. To share a few pieces with you from Raw Air, and please keep me abreast of the time, like 5 minutes, so, because I'm not wearing a watch. They don't work on me. They go too fast, too slow, and then they stop. and they said that my mother thought I was joking when I would tell her that, but it's true. I have too much electricity. I mean, you've heard this, right? Yeah, and it just It just doesn't work, so I can't wear them at all. So I depend on... Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, when I tell people that sometimes they say, right. Anyway, I'm going to share Yearning with you. And Yearning is a poem done in Trinidadian dialect. And I had not been to Trinidad in 10 years, and I woke up on a particular morning really missing it very badly, and so I wrote Yearning. A long white space with blue dots and orange lines. A wide winter space for hummingbird sounds and steel pan pounds. A wide space turned out with yearning. I say I have a yearning. I say I have a yearning. I say I have a yearning. For night tepid breeze, big fat moon that ain't afraid, your big moon shining like my neighbor mole face. Oh, God, I yearning. For mango doodoo, sticky and sweet. For melangen, curry cabbage, and blue dasheen. I yearning to see the green jaundice eyes of ratty, mangy dog smiling. After he eat up the saltfish bone, the Chinese man throw for he. I yearning for Gil, come out the canal. I go tell your mother your cousin. I yearning for Oman, when me kiss me ass food. Wee papa, it's sounding like you vex. Oh God, ease me up now, darling. You can't see a nursing the baby. But what do you ask wrong with this woman? She think I is a hen, use the stove. I yearning for my old white goat Sheila. And the textile gate up Victory Street, where I let she drop she shit balls in the white people yard one at a time. I yearning for standpipe water and bellyful breadfruit. Chenet to make me tongue tight and Moby so I could pee better. I yearning for she get me hot and a cuss she ass. I call she mother a prostitute. My mouth ha no cover me afraid nobody, you know. I yearning to drag tongue up Frederick Street and mass, oh mass. I yearning for rum shop, Christmas parang and obia to get the man I want. A little blue bag to swell the foot of each child mother belly. I yearning for roti and roast corn by Curep Junction and a nice cold carib to send it down. I yearning for voices ringing shrill from B flat to high C. Bamsi rolling, one hand on left hip, the other flying, leaping in my face. Oh gosh, I yearning, 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 hungry. Now, the book is on sale tonight over there. And actually, if you pick it up, there's a glossary in back of it. You'll understand some of the references. Like, a yearning to drag tongue. It just means French kiss. So there are a lot of dialectic words in there. Okay, I'm going to continue on. The next piece I'm going to read is called Dear Heart. And this piece is for my mother. And I wrote it after she had a stroke, and I had never, ever seen her sick in my life. It was very scary to me, and it took me about 2 years to write the piece. My mother brings me her first flowers of spring. They're wrapped in her best crystal vase, wrapped in a white plastic bag. She's added a wad of damp paper towels just in case I'm off to one of my readings and don't want to carry such a heavy load. her love is light. In the bag is a peeled grapefruit and a small blue plastic knife. I touch her love. I look into her overly powdered face. It is the only worldly costume she wears, the powder. I think how her eyes have gotten smaller, her cheekbones chiseled into angular pyramids all in one year. She tells me she doesn't have strength for her garden, yet she brings me her first flowers. She brings her legal papers to be double-checked, and for the millionth time since my birth, she says, I don't like to compare my children. But your brother, he's not like you. I thank God I have a daughter to walk behind, she says. Walk behind, she says. I worry you won't have a daughter to walk behind. Her face saddens, then brightens, but maybe you'll have a good daughter-in-law. I travel her lightly ashen hands up the steering wheel to her peach-colored blouse, her floral scarf, her powdered face, and time again, my heart empties itself into the cool ocean of her eyes. Time and time again, I marvel at the love there. Our final destination, she reaches over to brush my lips. Bless you, dear heart. My heart crumbling, my lips mouthing a litany of praise. The rock looking down at me is my mother. Thank you. My life got really busy with a full-time job and doing the poetry, so I worked near my mother's house, and she would come at lunchtime and pick me up, and she'd bring me lunch, or I'd bring her lunch, and then we'd just go driving for the hour, and then she'd bring me back, so that was how we spent quality time together. So this was an actual experience on this day when she brought me lunch. Notes on the Road to a White Garland, a love poem. Pale night devoured our rich, dark faces. Your mocha eyes lit stones beneath my feet. Your hair the color of rain breaking water on coral trees. I touch it. Days later, it was like a stab wound, hot, quick, and burning. Your tongue when it finally touched mine. You embrace me. With the white, bright garland of your teeth, my petals beat the green rhinestone air of your breath. Moonlight and your small, curved back calls me to the pulpit of your living. Deep in the high court of your violet thighs, I know your blue leaves. I know your blue leaves. I know your tongue like I know my face. The wet crimson street of your belly shimmers. What will the yellow roses yield tonight? What will the yellow roses yield tonight? What fragrance will hold me, my lids falling through your water, heaving under the rawness of your maple blossoms? Thank you. At Phoenicia, how I'm doing on time? Oh, okay. This piece is called At Phoenicia, and Phoenicia is in the Catskills. It's about 20 minutes from Woodstock, and it's where I rent a house every summer to write. And At Phoenicia, your desire running over me like a locomotive. We cook basmati rice, red bean garlic soup, and it is not enough to get you off of my tongue. You humping my breath with fever, red as blowtorch, I rub your back. You want this all night. The moon stands up, takes notice. This is a heavy night, a heavy, heavy night, stink with desire. In the early seasons, you sit at the window, count sunflowers rising in the heat of us. And last night, when I asked you to be here, you gave me something real. You gave me something real, something to stand on. And I loved all the cracked shapes of your laughter lifting off my skin. Thank you. This piece is just called Woman. I'd rather have your fingers talk to me, your blue breast of clouds loosening in the thickening bow of my arms. Color of Trees. I want to do this piece, Viceroys, and it's for my ex-father-in-law who's dead now. It's called Viceroys for Donald Taylor. And it's a true story. Once my father-in-law told his son, "The morning there is nothing for breakfast. Place my viceroys on a floral china saucer and serve them to me." His cigarettes are blazing appendage at the end of his tongue. His filterless eyes turning green in the slow blue burn of evening. He was serious about that. And he didn't die of cancer either. The Color of Trees. This is a poem for my father. And I have a lot of problems with my father, and I'm still working them out, and so I work them out in my poems. The roots of my paternal tree stop at my aunt's front door. My poor father, an orphan. Growing up without your mother, not knowing your father's grace. I imagine your father, a red almond leaf tree, a brown ringed coconut trunk, teaching you to climb that mango bird tree. That mango rose tree, his hands heavy, thick, webbed to yours. Your mother, orange earthenware. I imagine her tummy soft, blue like jellyfish, her fingers strong, washing your hair, her high lilt making music. Boys should learn to wash their hair, you know. Should learn to cook and clean. They can't count on women these days. Did she know she would leave you? That you'd never trust again? Seek refuge in the joy of old oak rum in between the legs of crooked women with extra kids to feed when a shilling bought six loaves? Did I expect you, Father, to climb and fetch me that red pomerac just before it fell and bruised? Expect you to peel and feed me that golden apple, declaw its sharp pines for my delicate mouth? At 3 years old, I'd learned to speak. I did not call you Dad, just Roy. 33 years later, I call you nothing, nothing, Earl, Leroy, bastard, daddy, daddy, or dad, or dad. Why, oh why, Father, did I expect your branches to bear succulent, laden with good fruit when you never even knew the color of trees? I'm so good. I'm going to share. I was a twin, and my twin was stillborn. And 20 years, almost to the day, I had twins, two boys. And one of my sons died. He lived for 8 hours. And so these are like twin poems, and I read them together. The first piece is called Stillborn. And one of the things I do in my writing, I like to fantasize a lot. That poem, The Color of Trees, I just kept thinking and wondering what my grandfather would have been like and what would he have done with his son and the mother. And so this one, Stillborn for my twin brother, I just fantasized what my twin brother would have said to me on the day that he was leaving and leaving me here. And it's not a sad poem, it really is a happy poem. Stillborn. The ink of your blood has risen to touch me, brother. We smile, ride into night. Everything is still but for water and the bright shower of stars your ruby breath makes in lace sky. So magical are your bells when they reach my ear. We are already at the end of our ride. Your extended hand, a great imperial topaz, leads me from this bald cave that is our mother's tummy. You wave goodbye, hand me your life. So delicate are your hands, I am compelled to keep them always in front of me. And the next piece is called At 22 Michael, and it's for my son Malik's twin brother. And it took me 22 years to write the poem because I really blocked it. I remember how he rode me, my rib cage becoming his horsey, my back his trampoline, where he spun cartwheels, played tag with my vulva, kicking it raw and tender. His first movements were hard as a hummingbird's beak. He pecked, took, gave to me. I held that boy inside, learned his smile, his frown, his feet. They pulled him out of me, spools of broken glass, and though I never saw him, something about the way he held on, something about the way he held on, refusing to go, this boy I would come to love and never hold, this boy who would never taste the butter of my nipples. Something shattered that day, ripe and rotten, his breath turning back on me. And I loved him. I loved him. Birth is a swollen woman sitting wide-legged, picking pain from her teeth, leaking her milk, filling her arms empty, her arms empty. Thank you. So I'm going to, there's this poem, it's the poem that closes the book. And in New York, I can never do a reading without people requesting this poem. And it's called Plenty Time Pass Fast, Fast Day So. And after that poem, I'll close with a poem from my son. And I'm reading it for Karen because we didn't get to finish it that night. This piece is called Plenty Time Pass Fast, Fast Day So. And it's in Trinidadian dialect, and the other thing I speak, which I call Trinimerican dialect. So go figure. I used to know when mango ripe and ready to pick. I used to wait for guava to turn from a hard green ball. When it's yellow and creamy ripe with sun, I'd drag a chair from the gallery, stand up on it and fill my mouth with the sweetmeat right from the tree. Now that was living. I used to know if my grandmother left hip hurting, rain coming. And if she right hand damp, it go be sun in the morning, rain after lunch. Them days children would sit out in hot sun for hours. Me don't know nothing about no tanning lotion, you know. In we house, when it come time for going out, if your skin did real dark and pretty like mine, man, They're shining it up with coconut oil so everybody for miles could see you coming. And them nasty old men, they're seeing your fuss. They crocodile eye on your little breast you ain't even know you have yet. And if your little chubby, the grin getting more wider is like the bigger the better, the more the merrier. But thing was nice though. Them days pass, fast, so we leave and come New York. Well, if you see me up here in these people country, I have 4 locks on my door, I run in 3 jobs, and I still can't see where the money going. Queens get hard, so I pick up my fast self and move to Chelsea. Chelsea was a place for Sunday brunch. All you can eat and drink for $13.95. Gay, modern, post-modern, and retro. You don't have $2,500 finder's fee? Sorry, honey, this water closet will be gone by midday. And it was. Chelsea was a place for hard white cocks, stirring pain I could never fathom. Hard boots, open shirt, pierced nipple, and a little doggy collar fastened to the cock ring. I got tired of walking behind flat ass, weighted down with money, the damn Gucci backpack, bumping carelessly in my face. Who father know this one father, who know that one father, who run in the Exxon Corporation? That one is a lesbian avenger who would proudly use her daddy's platinum card to make bail. If you see me in this place, I am so tired of this fake, politically correct freedom. Harlem is still a tourist attraction. If you see me in this place, time pass fast. So I had time to study rain, never mind sun. Me left hip hurting, but it ain't predicting nothing. I want to hold my friend Letta's hand at water's edge. I want to transcribe the news waves tell. I want to braid Olga's hair into a tree, fuse her roots back into black soil. I want to play dominoes with Donna and Linda, make soup for Keith when he's sick, draw a bush bath for Billy till his fever breaks. I want my family back. I want to sit and rock you, have my hips predict your coming, sit and rock you back to a time when we sought respite in each other's breath. I want my family back. And I am blown away in the loose dust that is that city, that house of confusion, those rooms of deceit we have come to know intimately. I want my family back. In your absence, I am Havana, speaking Spanish to Port-au-Prince. I am Papimento, speaking Wolof to Curacao. The shrill spaces your withdrawn hands leave in my body carries dull knives and cracking trees. At this bewitching hour, I hold out my hands to you. Somehow these empty nights seems the right size for making homes. Somehow these empty nights seems the right size for making homes. My tongue is heavy with its own lax. I hold out my life to you, 'cause these days, does pass fast. So. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to close with Round Irving High School, which is a poem for my son, Malik Taylor. And I'm dedicating it to Karen because we began reading it at her house on Saturday night, and we were having so much fun we didn't finish. So Irving High School is one of the high schools near where I work, and sometimes when I come really early in the morning at 7:30, the kids are out there smoking marijuana and menacing people on the street and cursing, and so some of the vernacular you hear are the vernaculars of the young people. Marijuana joints make circles hand to hand like a collection plate at Sunday service. Brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother. How the urban animal bleats when they meet. Shoulder bump, shoulder kissing, mouth hiss, hissing. Palms slapping languid days back, back, back into numbness when I don't give a fuck about no one. They say in New York City, the children carry broken glass under their fingernails, box cutters in their teeth. But my son, you enter tampering with the blues, and even when a deceitful wind blows, messing up your tightly beaded afro curls, nothing shakes you, my son. You ignite the riddle, fife with the blues. Hip hop, hot, 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 hot. Hip hop, hot, 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 hot jazz. Hip hop hopping, breaking the naked sounds of gunshots on Linden Boulevard. Not another stereotypic nigger with a 40 in his hand. You come skinny and small, all 3 pounds of you jumping to the music. 3 months old, you know to sing. And I'd rather listen to you than James Brown, cause you be loud, black, and proud, carrying your love way down far so as only I could see. And I love that sly smile, just like I love your daddy's. Your hands holding flowers, not guns. Your hands holding flowers, not guns. And everything about you makes me proud to call you mine. And his birthday is on Friday, and that's dedicated to him. And I want to thank you very much.